Ooh, there it is.
I know, hold back these feelings.
Noon on hump day. Congratulations. Halfway to the weekend. It's all downhill from here. We will be in Flowery Branch tomorrow for training camp.
Yeah, man.
Raheem Morris is going to stop by and join the show. We'll talk to a player as well, as we always do. We never know which player we're going to talk to, maybe until kind of the day of, and then we'll let you know throughout the show. But always fun to catch up with various members of the Atlanta Falcons throughout training camp. So that will all start tomorrow. Really cool to hear that the first 3 days, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, are sold out.
Yes.
Not surprised.
But I love it, though, man. Love it. Love the excitement that Falcon fans are having, especially last year because they weren't out there last year. So you're going to have another opportunity to have them out there having a good time, man, watching the babies and everything like that. Y'all just hydrate and all that other stuff, man.
Hydrate. Sunscreen, bring chairs, all that stuff. I think that it would have been similar last year too.
Yeah,
like I think there would have been that type of enthusiasm and sellout last year too, because people rightly thought the team was going to be really good.
Yep.
And then they were, until they weren't.
Exactly.
And we all know why.
Yeah.
And hopefully nothing like that happens this year.
No one.
Hopefully is the key word.
I can't deal with that one. I can't do another one of them, man.
No.
The uncertainty of we don't need that crap.
No.
But it should be a lot of fun. Can't wait. Especially can't wait to see y'all as we're out there. You guys come over to the setup where we are, because we're going to be close to where we usually are, right?
Yeah, pretty much right in the same place. You can't miss us. Like if you're going from the entrance to the practice field, you're going to walk right past us.
Yeah,
see us right where we are.
Make sure y'all stop by and holler. Remember what I always say, like the locker room is a forgiving place, but sometimes, you know, some other things happen. And you remember last year when Tyreek Hill was like, I'm out.
Yes.
And everything like that.
The end of the year.
Yeah. And so I never knew what came of it. Nate asked Tua today about it. And he said that Tyreek is rebuilding relationships with him and his teams. And it's a work in progress because of what happened then. Tua said, when you say something like that, you don't just get to come back and say, my bad. Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Seems right.
You got to work on that relationship, and he's working on himself. And that's why, like, because, I mean, it just hit me the wrong. I was like, he did what?
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yep.
Like, that's just.
He was having a real tantrum.
And like, if he wasn't as good as he is, he'd be gone.
He'd be gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you
not only that, as good as he is, but also how much it would cost for him to be gone.
Because you remember I said it right after that, because he had a cat, he has a C on his jersey. I said, he won't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no way in hell.
Yeah, that's gone.
There's no way in hell that you can vote this man a captain of your team. And he walks off the way he did.
Now, it does seem, though, and look, I don't know how much of it is performative, whatever. Also, what's the difference between pretending to do the right thing and just doing the right thing? It does seem like he's spent a lot of time trying to do the right thing this offseason. Like, a lot of the stuff you hear from Tyreek Hill this offseason, quotes, sounds different.
Yeah.
So, good.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know, everybody gets wake-up calls in different ways.
They do.
Maybe the team pretty clearly done with him.
Yeah, because that's just a bad damn look, man. It's a bad look, and it's even worse. Everybody heard you say it.
Yeah, you said it on TV.
Yes.
Or was it a live stream?
It was a live stream or something, and the mic caught it.
Yeah, everybody saw it.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, so I don't know. Not great, but cool to hear Tua be like, yeah, we don't just immediately forgive him.
Yeah.
He's got to come in here and earn that. We'll get to this a little bit more in about 15 minutes as ACC Media Days are going on today and yesterday. News out of Georgia Tech. A contract extension for their offensive coordinator.
Good for Buster.
Buster Faulkner, 2-year deal, $1.5 million a year, which is like that's big time power football offensive coordinator money. Which is good for Georgia Tech.
Yes.
For putting up the money for a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys, by the way. When we talk about who's next to get a big job,
no doubt about it.
He's a rising star in college football.
No doubt. Got to give Tech their props, man, for opening up the wallet to keep him because,
for sure.
Like, he's going to be a hot commodity. And even though he got this contract, hell, he still might leave because, like you said, I would not be surprised next 2-3 years that he's a head coach. And I'm not talking about taking your first head coach job at somewhere like.
Yeah. No, I'll say it even a little bit more. I'll go more aggressive than that. I would be surprised if he's not a head coach a year from now.
Yeah.
Like with what Haynes King is going to be able to do in that offense coming back.
From what they did from that year to. Yes.
They got 2 touchdowns better year over year.
Which is like.
I mean, that's a Midas touch. Yes. That's crazy.
Yes.
And then now another year with Haynes King, and as good as they were last year and as good as they played in the second half of the season, like, there's no
They better – y'all better
– I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's one of the hot coordinators by the end of the year. Yeah,
people better watch out for the Bramlin wreck, man. Because, I mean, schedule-wise, you know, it's not the – it's not easy, but it's not the worst. You don't got to play Miami.
Yep.
I don't know if they – I think they got to play Syracuse. I know they got to play Clemson, but they got Clemson here.
We'll get back into it in about 15 minutes because you're right. I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's been a while since we've said that coming into a year. But Brent Key and Buster Faulkner and obviously the quarterback, like they got a pretty good situation over there. We'll get back into some ACC Big Ten Media Day stuff in about 15 minutes. Before we do that, let's get to an NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Falcons reporting to Flowery Branch today for training camp. Training camp starts tomorrow. We'll be out there broadcasting live every day that's open to the fans. 92.9 The Game will be on site as well. And every day that's open to the fans after practice, Dukes and Bell are going to be at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Our training camp coverage brought to you by North Georgia Honda Dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Phil. I know we talked about the Philip Rivers thing yesterday, but we didn't get any of the audio of it. Here's Philip Rivers in his retirement video.
I'm Philip Rivers, quarterback, and I'm retiring a Charger. I think gratitude really is the first thing that comes to mind.
One of the greatest gamers of his generation.
There were so many highlights and fun Sundays.
Philip Rivers just ripped it.
What was that, boys? All together.
So many. But what I miss and what I'm most appreciative and thankful for are those relationships.
On the flare to 52
points. The things that were behind the scenes.
The Chargers are alive!
What you lived every day. It's the days at Murphy Canyon.
Yeah, man, it was all, I mean, that's what anybody, I say it all the time, you miss those days. I mean, you miss being in the locker room. Murphy King was a dump, all right? That practice facility was old. The field was nice because it was in the mountains and everything, and less than coyotes.
Isn't that where you saw, like, a mountain lion or something?
They were because they're sitting up there atop the field, and there's no fence. So, like, whenever I would go out there, like, there's this hill. They have a turf, like, it's a rock hill. I mean, a rock, like, walkway, but it's going uphill and there's a turf going up there
for training.
So imagine one day you just run because ain't no fence and it's mountainy right there. Imagine just running that
day. Always train with somebody who's a little slower than
you. Dog, but that would be the crazy thing. We'd be at practice and you would look up and it's a damn mountain lion sitting up there, and like they were real, like literally they were like, all right, go in, because I
everybody in. Why?
There's mountain lions just standing there looking at you, man.
Man-eating beast right there.
Yeah, man. But I mean, I love me some Philip, and it's always fun because he is just a down-to-earth country boy, competitive as hell.
Sixth all-time in passing yards.
Yeah, competitive as hell.
Do you think a lot of people know that?
No.
I don't either.
With that quirky throwing motion.
He does. He did have an unusual.
But it's so crazy why it was like that.
Why was it like
because
that?
Because when he was growing up, because that's cool. And so he didn't grow up throwing little balls. He grew up throwing the big balls of the high school kid.
Oh, smart.
And so that's how
he had to throw it
because he was little. And so that's why the motion was the way it was.
You know how many parents heard that and they're like, I'm just getting the big ball for my boy.
Yep.
It's like, nah, don't do that.
Yep, that's why his throwing motion was like
that's
that.
That's crazy. Yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. That's a great story. Matthew Stafford is dealing with back tightness. And he'll sit out the first couple days of training camp.
Yeah, there's a reason to put a lot of on staff this offseason, this training camp.
Don't lie to us, though. Matthew Stafford doesn't need to.
But they got to figure out something. Like Micah Parsons, he didn't practice this because of a back tightness.
It's amazing. It's an epidemic.
Yeah,
it's going across the league.
That's the easiest thing to put out there is back tightness.
Because there's no way you could prove it.
Exactly. Like, there's no exact. You can't prove
back tight.
You can't prove a back tight.
No,
a tight back, man.
No, you can't.
That bike. That
back,
bike. But yeah, there's no
back
reason.
Back
There's no reason. Let that staff have plenty of vet days.
Speaking of Micah Parsons, I know we played the Jerry Jones audio yesterday, and I know Dukes and Bell played even more of it than we did. Just wild.
Anyway, them two dudes need help, man. If that damn Mike, when he does that damn Jerry Jones.
His Jerry Jones voice is excellent. And then they started getting into, like, Arthur Blank.
Yes.
If he had to negotiate with a holdout, and that was good.
Dude, they're two dudes.
What
man.
A great show. What a funny couple of guys.
Two dudes.
Here's Micah Parsons, his comments on Jerry's comments.
respect for each other, but stuff gets said in the media. Have you had a conversation with him after yesterday's presser?
Nah, but I'm gonna talk to him. You know, I just thought as a whole, like, you know, everyone's situation is different. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, I'm here for my teammates. You know, I'm not here to please another grown man. I'm here for them. You know, I want to be here with Trey, watch him rehab, watch him go on the field, watch his growth. I want to be here battling with Terrence Steele. Like, I'm here for these guys. I'm not here for him, you know. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's on the field with us. You know, we're on the field playing the games and things like that. So I'm going to just control my teammates, keep boosting it, and, you know, we're just going to keep playing together.
Yeah, I mean, just look, another year, another contract headache for the Cowboys.
I'm here for him. You know, it's amazing because, oh, Clarence, he just retired. Long-time beat writer for what's the paper down there? Dallas?
Is it Dallas Star? The Dallas Star or Ledger. The Fort Worth Telegram or something like that.
He's a long, like, he'd been covering the Cowboys when they were, like, winning stuff. And so he had an interesting thing where he was talking yesterday about the whole negotiation. It was basically saying, like, Steven, Jerry, and Micah, handshake. We want this. Perfect. All Micah said was, call my agent. And that's when Jerry came out with, I don't know who his agent was, crap. So Jerry got kind of to a point where, like, I'm still going to dictate this. We all know Micah Parsons will have a new deal by the time the season starts. My thing is, like, Jerry is being petty right now because he can be. And I understand you want to win. And I know that if I keep spending my money on first-class stuff and I'm not getting the results that I want, I kind of feel a certain type of way. But at the same time, this is crap right here.
Yeah.
But it's crap that Jerry needs because they're not going to win a Super Bowl. So what does Jerry need?
He loves the headlines.
Exactly.
He loves the headlines.
He needs the A block on every TV show.
Yep. And he's going to get it. He keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the – do you remember the guy's name that had to step down from the NFLPA? I know J.C. Tretter did too. Who was the other guy that had the conflict of interest, you know, just from a couple days ago?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
I don't know his name either. It doesn't really matter. But I read a story on him. What a guy. At the facility, the NFLPA facility, he made them combine two parking spots for him because he was too worried about parking close to other people. He was like, I don't want him to ding my ride.
Right.
And so he made parking spot 10 and parking spot 11 just one big-ass parking spot. Uh-huh. But then he made him renumber it 32 because he liked O.J. Simpson a lot. So it's like,
this
guy's a psychopath. Like, what's this guy's deal?
That's why I asked. I was like, did they vet this dude?
I guess not.
I'm like yeah.
That's the same guy who was at Magic City spending the NFLPA, you know,
money.
Credit card on strippers.
But this dude was making,
good job.
He was making a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Pay with your own damn money.
Yeah, man, you got it.
That's my thing, dog. Pay with your own damn money.
You're trying to write it off?
Because that's just corny. That you're going to go out there and you got the bread.
Made him combine two parking spots because he was worried about somebody kipping up his Porsche Cayenne.
Okay.
It's a nice car.
Andy, it's an eye car.
It's all right. Yeah, it's not a Bentley or anything.
Like, I mean, I've never been a Porsche guy, so I would never.
I'm sure it's a really nice car.
Yeah,
I'm sure. But, like, people have them.
Yeah, I've never been a Porsche guy.
You know?
But still, sit your ass down.
Yeah, what a joke. Down, man. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some ACC Big Ten Media Days. Conversation. A lot of good momentum for Tech for sure. Buster Faulkner getting a new contract, offensive coordinator. We'll get into all that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
She wasn't fired, Steve.
Oh, what were we just talking about? I mean, he
different band though.
I know a different band, but I'm just thinking, just going by the music.
Yeah.
This guy got, you know how you go to the bank and get a loan?
Just so we know, so everyone knows, we know. We're going to start talking about Ozzy Osbourne. We know Ozzy Osbourne is not in the band that the music we just
played. We're 100%
know. We know that.
But
Ozzy, now we're going to start talking about Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy, he went to heaven. Or somehow transported a message to God and got a loan for 25 more years.
Yeah.
Because like, this man's supposed to have been gone.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that watched that reality show.
This man's supposed to have been gone, man. But
that was a long time ago, and that dude couldn't even walk.
Yeah, dog. What a dude. Black Sabbath. I actually like Black Sabbath.
Oh, sure.
I actually love Black Sabbath. But, yeah. When I saw the answer, I was like, Ooh, boy. Time finally ran out of her eyes.
Yeah. And a crazy timing, too, because they had just done a farewell tour. They had just gone on a bunch of city stops, and a lot of the money they made, they donated to charity. So raised like $150 million, I think, in 17 shows or something.
Unbelievable.
Again, I don't know what the performance looked like at the end from a guy who 25 years ago.
I saw a clip of it. I saw a clip. Yeah. He didn't.
Seemed all right?
No.
Oh.
I saw one of the clips from the it didn't look very
seemed like it was the time was near.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, some people get more out of the years than others. You know what I mean? How old was he? 75, something like that? That's 300 years worth of living.
I'm talking about Andy. Yeah. Unlimited living. Real quick, Russ is just sitting in this picture. Jordan Davis looks good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, man. Wow. I mean,
which one?
Jordan Davis, or George is Jordan Davis.
Okay.
Dude.
My sister-in-law's name is Jordan Davis also.
That is true. That is true.
Rusty's texting you pictures of her. Jake's going to be furious.
Jake's going to be mad. down at 330. Looks good, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Looks good. Looks good. But yeah, see, you had to go there. Jordan, it's Jordan Davis.
Well, then there's a country singer named Jordan Davis, too.
Why the hell do you think I would know anything about Jordan
Davis?
Rusty might sing me something about a country singer named Jordan Davis?
I don't know. I just think it's funny that my sister-in-law's name is Jordan Davis, really, is all. I just wanted to bring it up.
Like, why would Rusty sing me something about a country guy named Jordan Davis?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, happy to hear that Jordan Davis is doing well.
Yeah, man. I mean, he looks slim.
Good
for him, man. Good for him.
I mean, Super Bowl champion, you know?
I'm asking, like, he's on his fifth year option, isn't he?
I think so.
I think so, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think he's on it. Okay. Because
this is his fifth year.
Okay. Okay. I was like, damn, I know they picked it up. I just couldn't remember if this was his fifth year or not.
Okay. But, let's hear, as we get back into a little college football talk here, I know we mentioned the contract extension for Buster Faulkner, offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, 2 year, $1.5 million per year, so $3 million contract. That's big boy money.
Yes,
that's big boy coordinator
for offensive
money.
Coordinator money. Yes, and
good on Tech for coming up with it and keeping him. And I know he wouldn't go anywhere, but like that's awesome.
But that was that thing where Brick, he wouldn't got him from Georgia because I mean Kirby did not want to lose this young man, and he has shown that because he was learning on the job also, because this first time he came basically from being a GA, a grad, to going and being the offensive coordinator at Tech. And, I mean, he got the right quarterback.
Yep.
Now, the thing with Haynes, he's got to stay healthy. That's his biggest thing. But you look at their schedule. I mean, pull it up. Can you pull it up for me real quick? Because I know they got Clemson at home, but I know they don't have to play Miami this year. And when you look at, I don't think they play SMU this year either. But, I mean, when you look at their schedule with all they got returning,
So they open against Colorado, which is just kind of fun and interesting
anyway.
I love
that. They're going to go.
They should be able to beat Colorado.
They're going to go bludgeon Colorado.
Yeah, they should smack Colorado. Yes. Colorado lost a lot of talent. And then they got Gardner-Webb at home. So, yeah. Now, game three at home, noon kickoff against Clemson.
That's going to be the one because –
that's a tough one.
Because Clemson's going to match strength on strength. Mm-hmm. Clemson's front seven is funky. Mm-hmm. And it's one of them funky front sevens like when Clemson won national championship funky.
Yes.
Them dudes – get after it.
Yes, they have first round NFL guys on their defensive line.
Yes,
and they also have, and the other thing that they, I mean, always when they were really really good, like national championship good, they had the quarterback, and I think Klubnik is a very good quarterback. But they got those receivers.
Yeah, man.
They had three freshman wide receivers last year that at various times, including even in the Georgia game in week one last year, like you saw it. And as the season went on, they got better. To make the playoff last year, win the ACC, given everything that they were dealing with, is pretty impressive. I love the, I don't know, almost full circle nature of it, given everything that's happened in college football over the last 5 years, and Dabo just giving it the middle finger, being like, I'm not going to, not doing this, not doing that. Now he has.
Yeah.
He has come around to some of it.
Yes.
But he still stayed pretty true to his beliefs and stayed pretty true to who he was as a coach.
Yes.
And, in the end, being good at recruiting and being a good football coach matters.
It matters, man.
And people wanted to cast him aside. Yep. It was like a year ago when we were getting ready for that game. And, I don't know that we really bought into it because – I think we have respect for guys that are very, very good football coaches, great football coaches like Dabo is. But there was a lot of narrative of think about what has transpired from the last time Georgia played Clemson to the now they're playing him here. Mm-hmm. Is Dabo even still one of these guys? He is.
Yes,
he just is. A couple years in and win the national championship.
Yes.
Leave him alone. He's fine. And they're going to come into this year ranked in the top five.
Oh, man. Top three, probably. But I think that, when you talk about strength on strength, but I think the whole thing with Georgia Tech is they got to get better on defense. They got to be able to affect the quarterback more. But if Haynes King's, I think the biggest thing with him, because He runs like a linebacker, not a running back. He runs like a damn linebacker. Like, he searches for contact. And so that could be one of the things where, you know, it could eventually take its toll on him. But, yeah, Buster is going to be a head coach soon. This dude is, like you said, were a two-touchdown difference from one year to the next. Now, better players and all those things like that, no doubt about it. But for them, and like you said earlier, good for Georgia Tech to open their wallet to keep this young man because it seems like he's going to be that next guy. When you talk about offensive-minded guys getting a chance to be a head coach.
I don't want to do, like, the win-loss thing, but when you look at this schedule, obviously the Clemson game is challenging, but it's at home, so they have it at home, so that's good. Obviously the Georgia Tech, the Georgia game is challenging.
It's here this year. No, I'm sorry, it's the Mercedes-Benz.
Neutral site. Yeah. And then you just kind of look at the rest of it, like the rest of their ACC schedule, like you said, pretty favorable. You don't have to play SMU. You don't have to play Miami this year. A lot of teams that last year Syracuse had a nice year. You got them at home. You got Pitt at home. Like, I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like Tech's got to – they're going to be in the conversation at the end of the year, which is really
Clemson's
fun.
In.
Yeah, Clemson's going to
run through the ACC.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance they go undefeated in the ACC.
Who's going to play second? Mm-hmm. And I promise you, I will put Tech right there with SMU.
Yeah,
And Miami. I will put them three teams right there as the guys who can play to Clemson in the ACC championship.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They feel like a top four team in the ACC this year. Yeah. And maybe even, I'm not trying to short sell them, but you're in the top four. That means you could be second, right? And that's great, man. That's a quick turnaround with the new coaching staff and that. All right, here's the commissioner of the Big Ten. Can I just... This is just me saying this right now, so you can say no if you don't agree with this. We'll play this audio here. We've played the Greg Sankey talking about it. This is the Big Ten commissioner talking about the college ball playoff format. After we play this and then talk about it, can we not talk about this until they come up with a solution?
Deal.
All right. Here's Tony Petitti.
Like the revenue share parameters, the Big Ten and SEC's format control is set forth clearly in the agreement that all members signed. With respect to format, the Big Ten has been consistent in its strong preference for a playoff system that allocates spots based on conference standings and the results of play-in games. We want to better connect the regular season and the postseason. A critical goal of any postseason format, regardless of sport, is to keep as many teams alive as deep into the season as possible. We want more conference games to matter in November. Also, the playoff format should not function as a disincentive to schedule tough non-conference games. As we said throughout this process, we are open to considering any format ideas that come from our colleagues or the CFP staff. But to be clear, formats that increase the discretion and role of the CFP selection committee will have a difficult time gaining support from the Big Ten.
Okay.
All right, there we have it. That's his piece. They're going to do it or they're not.
Yep.
And when they do, we'll let you know. Or if they don't, then we won't let you know. Because if they don't, then they didn't do anything.
Okay. We're good?
I think so.
Okay. I want to hear Mark Richt.
Yeah, let's hear Mark Richt make a fun joke about Carson Beck.
You were at Georgia, went to Miami. I was at Georgia, went to Miami. The only difference is you got paid more than I did.
So true.
I don't know about that.
No,
I don't know.
If you go year by year, I think you got me by about a million.
It's so good to
based on what's reported. Yeah, Mark Richt made three when he was coaching there. Carson's getting four.
Yeah, man. But I mean, first of all, it's always good to hear coach. You know how I feel about that man. But yeah, I mean. It kind of was. I thought Mark got more than three, though.
I thought it was three per.
It could be. I thought it was more.
It may have been. I don't know.
It may have been. But, you know, Carson got let me tell you, Carson made some bread these last 3 years in college.
Yeah.
All right, I'm pretty sure he made about $10 million.
He's taken advantage of the NIL era as well as any player in college.
Good for him.
Yeah,
good
sure.
for him and everything like that. But, yeah, I remember when Coach Richt went to Miami, and I was like, I don't like this. I don't know why. It just didn't feel like a fit. Even though he went to college in Miami and all those, it just didn't seem like it was a good fit for him to go down there. And they had that one. You remember the turnover chain? Because they were like 8-0, and then they beat Notre Dame at home and all that. And then life happened, and they just started getting smacked. And then that turnover chain was. It was still around.
Yeah, they were doing it. They're like down
two
touchdowns.
They're down like two touchdowns.
They don't need to be doing turnover.
It was a dope-ass – it was a dope gimmick.
It was because they kind of started the whole thing, right? Then
now
every school had something at some point.
Yes.
And a lot of schools still do that. But, yeah, that was cool.
It was a dope-ass gimmick.
And when they were playing good, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, dude, you can't be doing turnover chains – losing by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Let's get this out of here. Did you look up in who the quarterback was? You talking about Syracuse guy? Because I thought McCord's not there.
Yeah, no, Kyle McCord's not there. I think he got drafted. I think McCord got
drafted.
Might
be right.
Ricky Collins is the guy's name. He was a big prospect at LSU.
Okay.
Obviously wasn't going to play because Nussmeier. So he transferred to Syracuse. And I don't know. Like, it's crazy what they got out of McCord last year. That offense was really fun last year. I think McCord was top five in the nation in passing yards last year by the end of the season at Syracuse. I don't know.
I love Fran. I love Fran.
Yeah. How could you not?
I love Fran.
Winners get washed.
It's a shame. That little OG's not there. Nor I forget, he's in San Diego now, wearing 86 like his dad. I saw a highlight of him yesterday, day before yesterday, Ronnie Gasson.
Cool.
Yeah, and I saw him. He got a nice little pass, and I love they were asking the OC, what do you think, how he's doing and everything like that. He said he's picking up everything, playing well, looking real good in shorts. We'll see how physically he is when we put these pads on, which is always – the separator of so many things, Buck, when you talk about like practicing the first part of training camp, you just helmets and nobody's hitting your ass. You all out there looking all pretty, doing them. What's the dude named Dr. Route? Would they be doing all that chopping and all that stuff? You should be chopping your little ass off when ain't nobody rushing the quarterback. You get them damn shoulder pads on and get grabbed on. All you do is chop it in place. To get your ass
footwork looks good.
You better get your ass going.
You're not going anywhere.
You better get all that.
Well, Fran Brown's on. He's talking right now.
Yeah, man.
At ACC Media Days.
I love Fran.
That's good. I didn't even know anything about Fran Brown. Obviously, I knew he came from Georgia, went to Syracuse, had a really good year, and fun quotes and all that. It's like one of the men. That's how deep the coaching roster was the last handful of years. Never heard of him.
Right.
Syracuse is like, we want him to be our head coach. And he has a great year one. Georgia didn't lose any coaches from last year to this year. Not a single one.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. Yeah, that's true. Kirby said nobody wanted to pay him to leave.
Nobody wants to pay no coaches.
Nobody wants to pay him to leave. All right. Backpage coming up next. No Bo, no Abe. Backpage with Eric Slaughter after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, Hump Day. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get to the back page in just a couple of minutes from right now. Back into the big story of the day, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Keep getting ready for Falcons training camp. We'll be there tomorrow, broadcasting live. I know practice is sold out tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, which just
awesome.
Great representation of the enthusiasm of the fan base. Love to see that. Can't wait to see everybody out there tomorrow as well.
Have you seen the video of Dante Jones, man? You know, the basketball player, the bald-headed, light-skinned brother, man.
Yeah, I remember Dante Jones.
Yeah, if you get a chance, just Google his video.
Okay. Because
That's
a rant.
The hotel.
If I had to guess names that were going to come up on this show today, I wouldn't have guessed Dante Jones.
I saw it this morning because I saw Jeff Teagan talking about
it.
And the cameras in the hotel, like, hallways, catches any everything. I just don't understand. Have you got it yet?
Mm-mm.
The point of, like, this dude done wiped himself with his hand, his backside.
Why?
Don't know, Andy.
Oh.
And wiped it all on the wall.
Ah.
I don't know why.
Gross.
But that's just nasty as hell. And I saw Jeff TV talking about, let me see what we're doing on with this. I was like, this dude is just, like, just nasty.
That's one of the grossest things
do. You're like, you're a grown man, but you're too grown. No, anybody too old to be acting like that.
Yeah, even if Jack did that I'd be really mad. I'd be furious.
He's a grown-ass damn man.
All I see is Dante Jones is a nasty animal. That video of Dante Jones is filthy. Do I really need to see it? I think you described it to me pretty well.
I described it enough.
By the way, shout out to my guy. Yeah. Yesterday was the first time in his life where he was taking a bath, and he was like, communicated that he needed to use the bathroom. Popped on the little kitty toilet.
There we go.
Pooped in there.
There we go, my dude.
First time.
There we go.
First time pooping. Not pooping, but first time pooping in a toilet. I'm proud of the guy.
Good for him.
I don't think that. I mean, we still got a long way to go as far as potty training goes.
Yeah, because boys are nasty.
Boys are nasty, and it takes longer and all that kind of stuff. Yes.
Boys are nasty.
Just inching my way closer to only wiping one butt.
And I love my video that my baby sent me, which was this made my day. That made my day yesterday.
Yeah, it was so funny. We were sitting there having dinner last night, and so I think what started, because Lily had the dress on that you got her from your trip. She had the that tie-dye dress on. Right. You guys brought her back from Honduras, but we weren't even talking about it. She just kind of started mentioning Uncle Randy, and then Jack starts singing Uncle Randy, Uncle Randy, and then I took a video of it, and then Lily started doing it. They were just singing about you last night, like, just loving on you.
You sent the video. I was like, look at my babies over there making a song. But it was funny because you remember the whole unk thing, right? And it was crazy because my brother said, well. His son, my nephew Tristan, he calls me Unc whenever I text him and check on him. And so he say, thanks, Unc. Appreciate you sending money for birthday. Thanks, Unc. And then I thought about something so damn funny. I was like, after they sent me the video, I was like, well, how funny would it be if Lily just came out when they called me Unc?
It would be really funny.
It would be freaking hilarious.
They can't say it without saying the whole thing.
Yes.
Uncle Randy.
Yes.
It's like one word.
Yes. But it'd be so funny one day if Lily said Unc.
That would be great.
That would be freaking hilarious if you came out and said, hey,
let me holler at you.
Daddy, that's Unc down there. Unc's in the driveway.
That would be amazing.
That would be so damn crazy.
Now, I know it's not going to happen today. It may happen Friday. We may have Shannon Sharp on the show.
Maybe.
Speaking of Uncs,
yes.
I wanted to ask him. He's an expert on being an Unc.
Yeah.
I'll get his thoughts on it.
Yeah, he embraces it.
Yeah.
He does. That's fine. And that's fine.
When does one become one? How does one become one? What does it mean?
I think you should become one if you accept it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't accept it.
I just feel, sure. Exactly. You've made that very clear.
Yes.
I just, from somebody who clearly has, in his case, we'll just get his Unc expertise on it at some point. Maybe Friday.
Maybe. That'd be a fun conversation. I know he's in town promoting his
love to talk to Shannon.
His liquor.
Yeah.
And everything like that.
What is it?
Portier? It's a cognac.
It's a cognac?
Yeah, it's a cone. I'm sorry. Cognac.
Cognac.
Is it cone or con?
I don't know.
Said cognac.
Cognac.
Some people say cognac.
Cognac. Not sure there's a silent G in there.
I know. But yeah, I ain't never seen a cognac.
Cognac.
Most of them I lead off the con.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Then everybody knows. All right, let's get to the back page.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SalomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. So Bo's bartending at the baseball game. Abe was hosting the steakhouse. So Eric Slaughter is in today with us, holding it down. So he's on the back page. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, I'm going to walk out the bowl. Give me a double yak with a cola back. That's how you do it, baby.
He would do it.
That's grown right there.
Double yak.
A double yak with a cola bike, which I still don't understand why you drink a bike. Just put it in the drink.
Because you got to sip one little. You should not mix yak, man. Yak's meant to be drank.
Exactly.
Just by
so what you need? What you need a bike?
My best friend from grad school.
I never understood that.
His go-to drink was a Hennessy and Coke with a lime, and he would drink 100 of them.
Yeah.
And then he got diabetes, and now he can't drink them anymore.
Right.
But Hennessy and Coke with a lime every time, over and over and over again.
But I never understood the bike part. Just go.
You need something to change the flavor of your.
I chase.
I like a bourbon and a beer.
That's what I'm saying. When I take shots, I chase it with Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a Bush back.
So do I.
Yeah, Bush back.
All right, speaking of the Braves, they are currently scoreless as they are in the bottom of the first. Let's see if Ronnie, batting a new position, can get us on the board, but not yet. Hopefully y'all guys didn't talk about this yesterday. So ESPN has ranked the worst moves by NBA franchises in the last 5 years.
Okay.
All right.
And our Hawks made the top five.
Hmm, really?
And they actually tied the Hawks and the Pelicans with the same move involving the same player. So according to NBA, the Hawks and the Pelicans both made bad moves by trading for DeJounte Murray. And that's the Hawks' worst move in the last 5 years. But he is ranked for two teams in the top five. The Hawks messed up by trading for him, trading away two or three draft picks, and then they bamboozled the Pelicans and said, hey, take this guy for us and give us some picks back. And they said, sure, we'll do it. He plays three games, gets injured or whatever.
Yeah.
We get Porzingis out of it. So
now, I would
why
say,
is DeJounte Murray just being hated on so bad?
I know. First of all, leave DeJounte alone.
Yes. Yes.
Go Huskies. Yeah, the trade didn't work out great, but at least the Hawks were able to turn him into Dyson Daniels.
Yes, they got Dyson Daniels.
Right?
My whole thing, because were we on the air when that came down? Or we were talking maybe a couple weeks before, and I was like, I said something about, would you take DeJounte?
Hell yeah.
I would love that.
It would be perfect.
I'm like, I guess it would work. And then
I was the most excited person in the whole city about that trade.
I was like,
but I also wasn't alone. Like, when they made that trade, everyone was like, oh, this makes sense. Secondary ball handler, really good perimeter defender. Trey can get off the ball. It can open up Trey's offense.
None of that happened.
Trey didn't want to do anything off the ball. DeJounte was only effective when he was on the ball. He didn't play any defense.
No.
Like, that was the craziest thing about it. No. Now he was hurt a lot of the time. But got a big contract.
Yep.
DeJounte got over $100 million from the Hawks while he was here, which means Rainier Beach High School's probably got some new jerseys and maybe a new basketball court.
Gotta get back.
Some kids in South Seattle are going to a fancy basketball camp, so I'm happy about
Love it.
They had to pay somebody. Might as well pay a guy that we all like.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, so of course, in this rankings of the worst moves in the history, well, the last 5 years of the NBA, I'm sure you guys can guess this. They ranked the Dallas Mavericks trading Luka to Los Angeles as the worst move in all of the NBA in the last 5 years.
They're sharing some love. They're going over there to see him. The whole Laker brass. Like, they are trying to get Luka.
He's in Slovenia?
Yeah. Okay. They're going over there to – because, I mean, the second, I think it is, when he's eligible to sign the contract, they need him to sign his contract.
Yeah, they need that done.
I hope he does not sign it.
Me too.
I hope he does not
Me
sign
too.
It.
I no. hope LeBron keeps sending little passive-aggressive messages via the media. I hope Luka doesn't sign it. I hope they play the whole year under the shroud of all of this. Because it's the Lakers.
Yes, I love it. And there's nothing funnier than that damn video of him and his wife in Cannes over there.
Cannes,
south of France. And they're playing that Kendrick, and he's singing hard as hell.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
And he's singing so damn hard.
I need to get on these videos.
He's singing so hard, Slaught, like you could tell. It's like, I guess Drake did some kind of diss song or whatever to him. You could tell he's all the way in it. Like, all in it. But to be clear, the guy who filmed the video, which I still think is the lamest blanking everything ever, let that man enjoy himself. You don't need you videotaping.
Oh, it wasn't like a friend?
No,
it was just a random guy?
Yeah, you know how that just irritates me. But then he showed him, he was asking to a Drake song. I don't think this beef needs to be a beef.
Oh, between the two rappers, fine.
Yeah.
But everybody else,
just enjoy the music.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I finally got a chance to listen to the new Clips album yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yes. Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
More stuff like that.
Yes. Sound like Clips. It's for real. Sound like for real.
It really did. I was like, because I was like, I can't wait to, I mean, I love them, and I've liked all the stuff Pusha T's done in between time, but like, I was like, what are they going to, oh, yeah, they're still just rapping about Coke.
Yep. Pretty good. And Malice still got that Malice face.
All right, real quick, got two NFL stories for you. I mean, let's go to Oakland because Jamal Adams and Coach Pete Carroll, who had a pretty good playing together there in Seattle.
It was all right.
They're singing this song all day today.
Yeah.
It was all right. Like, he came here and just was a one-man wrecking crew.
He did. He destroyed the Falcons.
He came here one game and just destroyed.
Hey, I think if he's close to the line, they're blitzing
him.
He's coming.
He destroyed. I always compare him to Landry. I can never think of his name. Because they're both LSU fans. I mean, LSU safeties. And one went to Washington. Number drafted 5 overall. Now he's some dude that walks around looking like a big He-Man doll. But he had all the hype coming out of college, just like Jamal did. And eventually it's like, when you can't do the specific thing, which is the game changes away from you can just hide you. And no, you're going to have to cover.
Not a very good cover.
Yeah, you got the cover.
Safety.
And yeah, got him.
Yeah, he got
LaRon Landry.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Slaw.
Yeah, no. But I mean, you're right. Pete Carroll loves Jamal Adams. They traded a lot to get him in the first place. He got a nice contract while he was there, too. And he was hurt a lot. Like, that was part of it. Like, he couldn't stay healthy in Seattle. So that's part of why it didn't work out, too. But yeah, hopefully it works out in Vegas. I'm always going to root for Pete Carroll.
Yes.
Pete Carroll's awesome.
Yes.
Great coach. 74 years young or whatever he is and got more energy than guys half his age. So last one for the back page. The Kelce brothers. Always great for a great soundbite. And Travis was talking to his brother, and he compared himself to a movie star that I really just found funny. Listen to this.
Travis,
she doesn't know how to drive
basically
a car.
You're living pretty man right now. You are pretty man. You're living your own Julia Roberts straight now.
Wow.
There's more. There's
wearing
more.
Wearing nothing but a tie when Taylor comes home. That's why I meet Julia Roberts. When I met Julia, it felt like we were the same person. She's so cool. Like, she spoke to me in this movie. All right, now. I'm just an NFL stripper. That's it. Just an NFL hooker, man.
NFL hooker. He said, I'm wearing a tie.
He's a pretty woman.
Pretty man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the grand scheme of things, you know, he's got a lot of money.
Travis got a lot of money. Trust me, he's made a lot of bread playing football and then all the other stuff that he has off the field.
Sure.
He ain't nowhere close.
Yeah, she's a billionaire.
That's her, like, spending change.
Yeah, exactly. He ain't nowhere close to her.
But the man just called himself an NFL hooker. That's what he called himself.
I mean, hey, dude, if he sits in that chair waiting for her to come through the house with a tie on, more power to you, my boy.
I think she would love this tie.
Yeah. Everyone would love that tie. But yeah, good.
Seems like they're happy.
That's all that matters, dog.
All the speculation about whether it was a bit or something for publicity.
Everything, man.
Seems like they're a happy couple.
They talk about Clay. Leave Clay alone, man. They talk about, it's publicity stunt. I don't know.
I'll publicity stunt with Megan Thee Stallion any day you want.
I don't know nothing about Megan Thee Stallion. I couldn't name you one of her songs. All I know is
I know some stuff about Megan Thee Stallion. I don't know her music, but
oh yeah,
I know a couple things.
She got a wagon.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, she is in the wagonista.
I know enough.
Yeah, I know
to be happy.
I know enough why Clay went over there. I could name one of them songs.
I'm trying to rack my brain. Do I know one Megan Thee Stallion song?
I don't know none of these young ladies' songs.
I think she has a song with Cardi B. I think.
Well, everybody got a song with Cardi B.
That's
don't
true.
They?
I know that. Really
I get Cardi B and Nicki Minaj mixed up.
Yeah,
all I know is that
understood.
I've seen, yeah.
They all got the backside. They all got the beautiful backside. Yes.
Cardi B's one was the one that.
Cardi B has a lot of areola showage.
Is that right?
Yeah, she shows her areola.
Well, then she was accused of her BBL wasn't smelling good. That's what I heard.
Stephon Diggs says it's just fine. Stephon says it's just fine.
Oh, he does? I thought he was the one that said it was bad.
Don't believe all that stuff, man.
Yeah, Stephon too new in that relationship to make any comments like that,
man.
No, they broke up.
Since when?
Because of the BBL smell.
Oh, okay. Maybe I need to read my latest gossip.
BB smell. All right. We'll be right back. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.